If you didn't get those words, that's okay. Today I have chosen the passage that we're going to look at this morning from Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 to 15. Now, that is a well-known passage, and I've chosen it for a couple of reasons. One is, it's very well-known. One is, it's quite short. And secondly, also because it deals with making disciples, and we're trying to make disciples because that's Jesus' great commission, and we're going to do it around reading the Bible. So if you have your Bibles there with you and you want to open up your Bibles there and open up to Matthew chapter 28 and you've got your piece of paper with your S-P-L-A-T splat letters there, we are going to get into it. Now, before we get into, and you've got your Bibles open, I've got mine open here. Usually if you're doing a devotional with your children or yourself or others, you normally would work through a book of the Bible. So if you've been doing that, and let's say you're working through the Gospel of Matthew, you would have read the portion before. And the portion before deals with the guard's report. And in the guard's report, you would have been asking certain questions if you're following this method. And so you would have had some information that you would come to the study or the Bible or the devotion already knowing the context. And so what I like to do with my children, and I'm sure this is many of the things I'm going to say, are things that you do intuitively, and that I'm just trying to break it down. But when I come to have my devotion time with our family or our children, one of the first things I do when we sit down is I say to them, who remembers what we did last time or last night when we looked at the Bible? Who remembers what that was about? Now, if we had been studying Matthew chapter 28, some of them might say things like this. Well, we remember the guards were meant to keep an eye on Jesus and Jesus' tomb, and they went over to the chief priests and told them how Jesus' body was gone. So someone might say that. Or someone might say, well, we talked about how the chief priests met with the elders and paid the guards to spread a false story about how Jesus' disciples came and took him away in the night while the guards were sleeping. And they might go on to someone else might say, and how the guards did that, and that's how the story spread among the Jewish people of Jesus' day that the disciples had stolen the body. That's all in the passage before. So I'm asking them what they can remember, and their people's brains are tuning in, and they're going, oh yeah, that's right, I remember. And that's great, and we want to talk about that before we get into what happens next. Well, once I've said that, and we've talked a little bit about last night's or last devotion, we would pray. We would pray about the passage. Well, we're going to do that now and together is before we get into that passage, and I want to pray for you. So, you know, you're listening to me, but would you close your eyes and bow your head with me as we join in to pray together over what God's going to say to us in his word this morning? Well, let's do that now, shall we? Father, these words were spoken by you, Jesus, a long time ago in a place far away from where we live. And today, in a vastly different culture, and yet these still have incredible relevance for us today to be your disciples. So, Father, as we read them now, speak to us through them as we try and understand what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. Father, show us Jesus in this passage. Show us yourself and show us ourselves for our joy and for your glory and for the salvation of others, we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you haven't already opened up your Bibles, and I'd like to remind you to invite you to come with me to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read those well-known verses from verse 16 to 20. And in your Bibles it might say, and I'd point this out, the Great Commission, Jesus' words to his disciples. So please follow along with me at home as I read these few verses out. Watch the verses as we read them out, if you will. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, there's our passage this morning. So let me ask everyone listening at home, the first S on your piece of paper, which is the question that relates to S, what stands out to you? Or you could say, what stood out to you? Those are the words I want you to write from the letter S with a little dash. What stands out to you in that passage? Now, it could be anything here in the passage, and if you have really small children, it might be nothing in the passage at all. When I ask my children, sometimes it's nothing in the passage. But it's a really interesting comment, and thank you, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But did anything else stand out in the passage for someone else? And it's good to have them involved in the family. Family times, reading the word, nurturing the family together. What a beautiful blessing and tremendous encouragement it is to families who do this. So have a look with me this morning, friends. What is it that stands out to you in the scriptures, in this passage? Maybe it's that Jesus is speaking to them, to the 11 now. Did you notice that? Or the fact that they were on a mountain when Jesus, where Jesus told them to go. They're on a high place where Jesus gives this great commission. Maybe it's that some worshipped, we're told, and some doubted, but there were no names mentioned to which ones worshipped and which ones doubted. That might have stood out to you. Maybe it was something to do with Jesus' words here. It could be anything of 100 little things. There is no right or wrong answer to this point. Remember, the question is simply this. What stands out to you? To you. What I like to do is when someone says, I noticed that, say, Jesus said this or said that, I like to say, tell me which verse it is. Like verse 18, where Jesus says, whatever he says. And it's a good practice to say, just tell me where you got that from. And it helps them to look, and we all look together to see where it is. Now, this process can take some time. And this can take a lot of time, especially when you're just looking and looking at the Bible over and over a few times before something actually does stand out. But we aren't in a rush here. We aren't in a rush here. We're nurturing and guiding and teaching. And remember also, friends, that there are five questions before you even pray. Now, if you decide to take up this method, and I was thinking this morning, a lot of people are going, oh yeah, we kind of do our devotion, we're working through this plan and that. Here's a suggestion for you. How about if you do that in the morning, how about do this in the evening? Or if you do the other method at a different time, how about do this at a different time of the day and just enjoy doing it? Or mix it up a little bit and say, well, we'll do that today or this week and see how it goes and we'll do the other. Or read the passage that you're reading through already in your Bible program and apply these questions to that passage so you really don't have to change a lot at all. Well, and anyway, and then we will, at the end of it, we'll talk and pray after these questions. Now, what I'm saying is depends on your situation. And what I'm trying to say here at this point is you're not bound to everything, especially if you have more than one children or a lot of children. Let me just say this. If you're alone, because here we are talking about families making disciples, but let me say this, if you're sitting there hearing this and you're alone, well, even this method here, I think it's wonderful. This is a great opportunity for you as an individual to really push yourself and ask questions deliberately and also perhaps to run a journal. So even if you had the SPLAT down the side in a journal and you started to write the things down that God by His Spirit is showing you in the passage, it's also a good way when you get to the end and we move to the prayer questions to write down the things that you're praying for as almost like a prayer journal all in one. So there are many benefits for doing this, and then you can see how God answers your prayer over time. So this first question was S, what stands out to you? Now, the second letter on our list is P. Remember, it's splat, S-P. And the letter P stands for this question. What puzzles you about these verses? What puzzles you? Now, by this time, if you're in a group, whoever is in your group may have forgotten about the rest of the passage, what it was said, because they're so focused on trying to find out what stands out for them. So it's good to say, well, keep reading the words and looking at them. I'm going to tell you what I do. When I'm ever running a group like this, I don't take anything for granted when I'm going back to the Word of God, as if somehow, because I've read it a number of times and studied it for many years, that somehow I know everything is going on. Boy, if we're doing a Bible study like this, I'm just looking and listening and looking and listening at the text and just meditating on it and asking questions over and over and over. And it's kind of like I do when I'm listening to sermons, just thinking and thinking, looking and looking, because the answers aren't up in there. The answers are in here. The questions pertain, relate to what the words are, the living word here. And so we're looking and looking. So what puzzles you? Well, there are lots of things that might puzzle the people listening to it. Now, if they're very young, I might read a sentence out at a time and break it down and say, what puzzles you? Now, a lot of this stuff happens intuitively, but you'll appreciate what I'm about to say. If we've got younger children, I might say, well, by the way, do you know what the word worship means? Or do you know what the word doubted means or authority means? And I might ask one of the slightly older children or the children I know who knows what those words mean to explain what that means. And we can affirm them and go, yeah, that's exactly right. And we're teaching each other and we're learning from each other. And that's just a wonderful thing to do. So, friends watching at home, I wonder if there's anything here in this text that puzzles you this morning as we look at this together. Now, like I said, sometimes this kind of Bible study with older people, mature leaders, I do this with older church folk, and I can tell you that we sometimes, as older Christians who have been reading the Bible, we need to look more carefully and think more deeply to really see whether we really do understand what's being said here. And sometimes we need to take the time to really look and go, if I'm really honest, there are some things in here that got me asking other questions that really do puzzle me. So if you're doing this with others and you are mature in the faith or consider yourself to be mature, it doesn't mean that there'll be nothing in the Bible in a simple passage like this that won't puzzle you. Keep looking until you find something that does puzzle you, and stretch yourself and ask questions to be more thoughtful and careful about what is Jesus, or whoever's writing, what are they really saying, so that we might grow in our understanding even as we gather together. Here are a few things that might have been puzzling as you looking at these passages now. Look at with the Bible again with me. Maybe someone might say, what puzzles me is that now all authority has been given to Jesus now. All authority. That kind of puzzles me. You know, did he have authority before, and why has he got authority? And how's all that authority worked out? That was in verse 18. Oh, yeah, so we're looking at verse 18. Well, someone else might say, what puzzles me is that baptism, of all things, baptism now is what the disciples should do and preach, verse 19. Well, someone might say, well, I was wondering about Jesus' promises of being with them to the end of the age. And I had a question. Does that mean that if they don't do these things, Jesus is no longer with them? Verse 20. Or does the end of the age mean the end of the world? Or does it mean the end of that age that they were in? And does it make any sense if it's the end of the world, if these disciples are going to die in the next 30 years? I'm wondering how that might apply, maybe someone would say, to other Christians, since Jesus was talking to his disciples and the apostles nonetheless. And it wasn't written, it was written for us, but it wasn't written to us, and Jesus wasn't even speaking to us directly. Maybe they have some really good questions there. So what kinds of things puzzle you? There's so many great things to think about. In fact, children and people, when we read the Bible, they can bring the best questions. Often the best questions are sometimes the most simplest questions. And as we teach and learn and listen, we really are learning new things over and over again as we study God's word together. So I do wonder what puzzles you here this morning. So maybe you want to pause and talk about that amongst yourself, what puzzles you in this passage. So having talked through and given everyone an opportunity and being careful not to correct or answer or go too deep on everyone's point if you're a parent. We're asking questions. This is a very important point I want to raise for you. When we come to do these Bible studies together or devotional times, it's very hard for parents to, I think at times, not to run down every sort of rabbit hole and tell them everything or see a little sniff of one of their favorite doctrines and try and go, oh, well, let me tell you all about the rapture now, even though it's not about the rapture, or all about your favorite doctrine or whatever it is, but to really work hard at listening to the children and nurturing the children, really work hard at doing more listening and speaking and trying to understand their understanding. And I know this can be very, very difficult when we're used to giving instructions, but so that's just something I've observed in my own life, that it's they've got to hold back and really listen, and it's a time for them to answer and speak and as much as possible. So, yeah, try and resist those temptations and continue to ask them what puzzles them. So the next question we want to ask is L, so S-P-L. And the word L stands for these words, this question, what do we learn about God and people? So if you want to write that down there, what do we learn about God and people? So this question is asking of the verses, what does it teach us about God? And when I think about that, we can also think about what's it teach us about God, what's it teach us about Jesus, what's it teach us about the Holy Spirit. And asking what do we learn about God from the passage this morning, someone might say something like that God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and from verse 19. Or they might say, God has given all power to Jesus, his Son, verse 19. That's what it tells us about God. And Jesus is now giving all power to his children and the disciples who teach what he has commanded. Someone might say, these verses teach us that Jesus, as God, will always be with us. As we go about his work in the world. It's a promise from God. Someone else might say, it seems that Jesus doesn't mind being worshipped as God here. That's a great observation. That tells us something about God, verse 17. Or maybe someone might say, Jesus speaks for God, and that shows us that God speaks through Jesus. When Jesus speaks, he's speaking with the authority as if God is speaking, and God is speaking through Jesus. God is a God who speaks. There are so many things that these few short verses and words of Jesus that can teach us and teaches us something about God and about the Holy Spirit and about Jesus. Well, that's the first part of the question. Remember, for L, it's what do we learn about God and people? And people. So the second part of the question is to deal with people. So what kind of people? Well, he's speaking to his disciples, but it also tells us something about the people who are yet to be his disciples. These verses teach us about this, something about his disciples. So if you're responding to what's this tell us about people, someone might say that Jesus' people are to go and reach all kinds of other people and make disciples of them, that they might receive eternal life. It tells us that the disciples were to baptize and teach people to obey Jesus' words. It tells us that the disciples were given a clear mission and mandate that was for all peoples everywhere. These verses tell us a lot about God and about Jesus and about his people and about people who were yet to know Jesus and how they would come to know Jesus. The method of seeing people come into the kingdom is to speak about Jesus and to teach them everything that he commanded. So I wonder what you have seen in these words that teach us about God and people this morning. Now we have two letters left, and it's two questions, and the next two is the word A, S-P-L-A. And the word A, if you want to write next to the big capital A on the left-hand side of your paper, it stands for apply. And this is the question, how might these verses apply to people and others today, or to people today. Now, I want to confess something through experience in doing this with older people. Now, with working with adults with the SPLAT method, I find that adults often want to try and answer this question from the get-go, from the letter S. And they want to talk about what, you know, how people respond, and this means we should do this and do that, and, you know, what stood out to you, and therefore, and you get this whole kind of explanation. And I have sometimes to say, yeah, that's a good point, and then I'll say, we'll get to that later on when we come to an application focus. So here we are now, and we can begin to ask the application question. How might these words of Jesus apply to people today? You could say to the first disciples, then to us, and maybe to others who are yet to be disciples. Very important process of eventually getting to application. Now, someone might say, well, we should be making disciples like how Jesus said we should make disciples. That's good. That's a great answer. And you might have a follow-up question to that. Well, how would we do that then? Which is another question that just naturally flows from the application question. Well, they might say, well, we make disciples by reading the Bible. And we would say, yes, that's true. By calling people to think about who Jesus is. Yes, that's true. By not being quiet about Jesus or keeping your beliefs to yourself. Yes, I want to affirm that as well. By baptizing those who respond to Jesus' teaching. Yes, absolutely. So you might then naturally say, well, how can we do that now that we are isolated more from our neighbors? What kind of things can we do now to fulfill the Great Commission now and the words of Jesus now? That's a question you might want to have amongst your family at such a time as this, in the specific current situation. And that's a great question to ask, and that's a question I want to leave with you to talk about after the message. So the last question, the last letter is the letter T, S-P-L-A-T, and T stands for these words, this question. So write this next to the letter T, if you'd like. What will you talk to God and others about? This is the prayer question after walking through the passage. What am I going to talk to God about these words that Jesus has said? In other words, how should I pray? How should we pray as a family about what Jesus has commanded here? Well, let me give you a few suggestions of things that might be said. Someone might say we could ask God to help us to speak up about Jesus, because that can be hard when not everyone wants to hear about Jesus. So ask God to give us opportunities, to give us boldness to speak about Jesus' teaching. And I'd say, yes, that's fantastic. We'll pray about that in a few moments. That's great. What then are we going to talk to perhaps others about when we have this opportunity? We're talking to God about helping us to speak to others about Jesus. Well, someone might rightly say, well, I'm going to tell others about how much I care about them so much, and I want them to know that God really loves them. And so I'm going to tell them that Jesus can help them. Absolutely. Because they might want to go, because Jesus is God and he came to help them and to die for them and to help them with all their mistakes and all the issues that they face. And Jesus' life and words can change them, like they're changing me. And I'm happy to talk to them about that. They might want to say that. All these kind of things as we talk about what we'll talk to God about and talk to others about. Well, friends, I wonder what great things God is showing you again this morning from his word that you might want to talk to others about, that you've learnt from his passage here this morning. In our home, after our study, we would finish off in prayer, and this is a nice way to finish, about some of the things that God has shown us in the words of the passage that we've been reading. We'd also pray for our nation, as we do, and those in authority, which comes up in this passage, and because everyone's under Jesus' authority, we would go to God in his name. We would pray for our family and our church, our nation, and our world. So before I pray with you, I want to leave you with a few closing thoughts about what I have presented to you here this morning. Firstly, there are many things that have changed for us in recent weeks, without doubt. But some things will never change. until Jesus comes again. And one of those things that will never change is the commission that Jesus gives to his disciples to make disciples, no matter what the season, to be about his kingdom when he comes, to be in his word, to be for Christians to make disciples who then will make other disciples, who then will make other disciples. Let me say right now that whatever you do with your time now and with your family and in the word counts for eternity. It really counts for eternity. These are precious days and precious times for you to disciple your own children and to be discipled yourself in God's word together. See, we're not only discipling our families in God's word, but you are teaching them how to study the Bible in a deliberate, careful, and reproductive way. So after some time, you'll be able to say to them, can you tell me what the letters are of SPLAT and what they mean? And they will go, S-P-L-A-T. And they will tell you which questions they are. Yes, Pastor Ben's going to show you a card that I use. He's just going to hold it in there so you can focus. That's great. Now, this little card here, you can use or make one yourself, design one yourself, and that can be a little reminder and can become a bookmark for your family devotions that they put in their Bible. Now, I know some of you kids are at home and wanting to do something. You could create a wonderful bookmark in your own colors and your own design with these words over the next few weeks, which will help reinforce what you're doing in your Bible devotional studies. Thank you, Pastor Ben. That's really good. Mine's a bit plain, but it's functional. So maybe you'd like to print those questions out on a card or write them up your own way that's helpful for you. So as a family and as children, now I'm thinking here of children, these children that we do this with, our children that we've been given to disciple, will learn to think, to read, and to pray Scripture, and they will be hearing the very words of God. Not only this, they will be being equipped to make other disciples. How wonderful it is for them to know how to open up the Bible with their friends or non-Christian friends, or as they get older, they could run a Bible study based on this very easily after you doing this for a number of months in your own home. So we're not only teaching them the Bible and thinking carefully about interpreting Scripture and praying, context, all those things we learn at seminary, but you're teaching it to your children in a memorable way, equipping them so that they may go and do this with others. I just think it's wonderful, and it's a fun way of doing it, and it's an easy way of doing it, and it's repetitive and transferable. So there's so many blessings and benefits to that. These seemingly short times of your family in Scripture, friends, count for eternity. Well, God bless you and enjoy your time being deliberate about God, reading God's word as a family, and in doing so, making disciples of those whom you've been called to make disciples to. I just want to do a bit of an encouragement for men, just a word for men to take up this challenge. Maybe mum does the devotionals with the children. Maybe this is a time that rather than just leaving it to mum, perhaps, I'm not saying for all men, but maybe that's the case in your home, that perhaps this is something that dad would like to do with the kids if there's a dad in the home. Mums, you're doing a fantastic job and maybe you'd like to do this too. But here's a challenge if there's a man in the house, a granddad, a father, I'd really an older brother or something, that they would do this and encourage the children to grow and make disciples of Jesus. Well, I want to pray now and I pray if this is helpful for you, then use it. If you've got any questions, you can message me privately about this. Even if one person finds this helpful, I think it's very valuable for us to think about. Well, let me to pray. Would you like to bow your head and close your eyes and we'll pray and give thanks to God. Father, we thank you for redeeming us. We thank you that you've caused Jesus to convict us of our sin and of his righteousness. And Father, we just want to pray for everyone listening to this message that, Father, you would have sparked something in their life to see the importance of not only reading your word, but meditating on your word, about training and taking others with us as we seek to make disciples. Father, help us to be, help us to meet you in your word, to hear the spirit of the text, to listen to what Jesus is saying more clearly in these days. Father, we want to also continue to pray for our nation. We thank you for the nation that we live in. We thank you for the wisdom that you give to those that you have established in authority. We want to pray for Scott Morrison. And so many of us were blessed as we saw him leading a devotion with some family and friends there this week. And what an encouragement. That's something that we can all do, Father. And we thank you for our brother. Pray, God, you'd sustain him. And for all those in cabinet and in parliament, we pray, Lord, you'd strengthen them and give your wisdom to them. Father, we want to pray also, Father, that as we continue to look to you, that you would be our source of our strength and our hope and our guide, because you have given us a spirit of power and of love and a sober mind, a disciplined mind, a self-controlled mind. We thank you, Father. We know that even the ability and the desire to read your word comes from you. We want to admit that we can't do this on our own. And we ask, God, that you'd fill us with your spirit, fill us with a love for Jesus. Show us your love again. Father, as we enter into this Easter season, as we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his life and his resurrection, Father, may you build your kingdom. We know you're building your kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us. You are building your church, and we want to be faithful about your business, our God and our Father. And we ask you to help us in this endeavor, making disciples and being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we pray it and ask it in his name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you again or on Friday as we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and then hear a message from Pastor Ben on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your day. Feel free to go back over any of the message if you want clarification, but trust that God will keep you and use you for his glory as we seek to be obedient in making disciples for his name's sake. Amen and God bless.